for a continuation, amen, that the Lord has enabled in assistance, the ministry's assistance to our pastor, and a continuation of the gospel, the grace of God, the mystery, the volume of truth that the resurrected, glorified Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, gave in revelation to the Apostle Paul for the grace church, which is his body. And now, hearing more of that from our contract, our covenant, in this dispensation of grace, Dr. Elder William Liverman will come and minister God's word unto us today. Let's receive Elder with a very hearty amen.
Grace and peace, everyone. Amen. Grace and peace to everyone. Amen. Thank God for everyone that is here. Amen. As you are embedded, surrounded, and amen, as we live according to God's wonderful, marvelous grace. Amen. So we just thank God for everyone, those that are here, and even those that are on their way. Let every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the grace of God. Father, we thank you, Lord. Oh God, we just thank you for your spirit. And Lord, we thank you for bringing us together one more time, Father. And we ask that Christ always be magnified, Lord. Let Christ, Holy Spirit, move through, oh God, 1545 Pinecrest in Ferndale, Michigan, and all over the land. Oh God, we ask you to bless the brothers and sisters in other nations, oh God, in the Philippines, in Pakistan, Africa, places where they may not have the freedom to worship, oh God, the way we have in America. But we just thank you, Lord. We ask that you bless every heart, Father. Encourage your people today, Father. Our encouragement can only come through the Word of God. And Father, let this vessel today, oh God, let this vessel of clay move aside. Let Christ be magnified. Let Christ be exalted. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness, grace, and kindness. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank God for the word of God today. And at this time, amen. Brother Randall, you could pass the document out. Amen. You should have the document. Oh, have mercy. Are you excited about Jesus? Amen. If anybody's not excited about Jesus, I don't know what to say. Amen. What else is there to be excited about? While you're passing it out, I had a unique experience this week when Deacon Gavin and I were in terms of the message and the ministry today. First of all, we want to thank God, the Lord, you know, as for those that's in internet land, the Lord has had our pastor on rest for the past almost a year and a half. And for those that didn't know, the Lord blessed our pastor, the minister, the last 2 weeks. And weren't you blessed by the word of God? So let's give the Lord a hand for blessing our pastor to come back. Amen. The Lord is The Lord is at hand. Amen. Thank God. Now let me say this. I was, probably the past year, as you know, I've been ministering on separating these messages, separating these gospels. And I was determined to go another way. I said, you know what, they're tired of hearing separate. We know about separating the gospels. I got an email, you know, this on Thursday, and it talked about, it's time for the church today to get back to the kingdom. I said, oh, Lord. I'm sorry. I cannot let that go. I'm going back to it. You got to separate these messages, church. Separate these messages. Amen. I'm sorry. The Lord will not let me loose. I'm sorry. I'll be going to go back to separating these messages. Because if you don't separate these messages, you will be confused. Guaranteed confused. You will have a saved, but you will have a miserable walk in this life. Saved but confused, Pastor. Amen. Now, here's what we're going to do. Let's go to, there are three scriptures. Amen. There are three scriptures that we're going to look at today. We're going to go to the document, amen, but not right now, but we want to go into three scriptures, amen. Deacon Gavin is our reader. We're going to go into, Deacon, I want you to read Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Verse 7, I want you to read that in the Interlinear Greek. Again, Galatians chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. And then we can go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 10. And then we're going to go into Ephesians 3, 13. Amen. I repeat. Galatians 2, verse 1 through 7. Philippians 1 and verse 10. And Ephesians 3, 13. And every one of these, Deacon Gavin, the last verse, read all those in the Interlinear Greek. Amen. Okay, Deacon Gavin, you may begin reading now.
Now we're reading from the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Mm-hmm. Paul writes, "Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also."
Okay.
"And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles,
mm-hmm.
but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain.
Mm-hmm.
But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in to privately spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these, who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepted no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me." Now verse 7, from the Interlinear Greek text. "But on the contrary, seeing that I have been entrusted the gospel of the uncircumcision as Peter of the circumcision."
Mercy. For those that have the King James, it reads, "To Peter was committed the gospel of the kingdom. To Paul, me, Paul, was committed the gospel of the grace of God." And it's interesting, Pastor, we had a discussion a few days ago. A lot of people don't know Paul was, when at the church of Galatia, the Lord, Paul was sick. And by him, you know, he was not on the move at that time. And it's amazing. Everything is according to purpose. So the Lord, more than said, Paul, in terms of stationary, he was what? He was being a minister to by others during his ailment. And during that time, he was able to analyze and evaluate and see all these different messages. And there was total confusion in the church at Galatia. Total confusion. Why? All these messages, primarily the kingdom and grace messages, where they were messing those up. And here you had the leaders of the kingdom church saying, "Oh, yeah, you Gentiles, you're saved, but now you need to keep the law of Moses." So you're saved, but you still have to keep the law. And Peter said, "Wait a minute, why are you going to put this burden on them when no one could keep the law?" So here, the essence of this time was that Paul wrote this letter to straighten out these different messages in terms of drawing a line of demarcation, church, between the kingdom message and the grace message. Amen. Now let's go to Philippians 1:10. Why should we draw a line of demarcation? Why is it so important to separate these messages? Well, we can connect this to Philippians 1:10. Deacon Gavin, please.
Now we're reading from the book of Philippians chapter 1 verse 10, first from the King James Version. "That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." Now Philippians 1:10 from the Interlinear Greek text. "For the to prove you the things differing, in order that ye may be sincere and unoffending in day of Christ.
Now, see, church, now that word different, that really explains the whole meaning, because if you have a good Greek translation, that word different, in fact, if you have a Greek in a computer, if you put the icon on that word different, there are some other sub-meanings that will pop up. And one is that it'll say a higher value rating. I repeat, different meaning a higher value rating. Paul's writings, the revelation of the mystery, because Deacon Gavin's been teaching for 3-4 years. But it's different, church. It gives you more information. And the information that you have in the writings, in the mystery, that you will not see in the other portions of the Bible, is what Deacon Gavin's going to read right now. Go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13. What's the higher value rating? What is the theme embedded in the higher value rating of our contract, the grace covenant? Deacon Gavin, you may read now. Ephesians 3:13. King James and Greek, please.
Now from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13, King James Version. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory.
Mm-hmm.
And now from the interlinear Greek text. Wherefore, I ask not to faint in the afflictions of me on behalf of you, which is glory of you.
I'm sorry, Ephesians 3:11.
3:11. All right, 3:11.
Yes.
From the King James Version, backing up to verse 11.
Mm-hmm.
According, oh hallelujah,
yes,
to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now from the interlineal Greek text. According to purpose of the ages which he made in Christ Jesus the Lord of us.
You see, church, we're going to get into the document in a few minutes, but keep in mind, remember, the revelation of the mystery, it has a higher value rating because you have more information regarding the eternal workings of God. See, you go through those other covenants, you know, the cogitation, the word, the way it's expressed in those covenants is that you going through, struggling through life, and if you go the wrong way, God, you lose your salvation. That's the language of those covenants. But in our gospel, everything is already done. Everything is complete. So you have more information. Again, the whole Bible is true. Amen. The whole Bible was breathed upon via the Holy Spirit to all the prophets. But the mystery which was hidden from times past gives you more information, because in our contract, it tells you that everything is according to God. It tells you that where you are in life today, the number of years you have lived in life, the number of years, months, minutes, seconds, every nanosecond, everything is according to God. You are saved today according to God. Every move you make is according to God. You have a problem that you can't seem to overcome. It's according to God. And as that problem pops up into the matrix, it's there for a purpose. It's not just there for enough. It's there to teach you something. Number one, it's going to draw you closer to God. Because there are things that don't happen. There's no such thing as things just happening. Well, you know, I woke up today and this happened, I don't understand. Well, you may not understand it, but there's purpose behind it. In the grace gospel, everything is according to God. You may go through life, you pray, you get healed, according to God. You may go through life, you pray, you may get worse, according to God. According to his eternal purpose. You may have a lot of money in the bank today, wonderful, according to God. You may not be able to rub two pennies together, according to God. As you go through life, in the doctrine of parapatiology, church, Everything is designed to mold you to the image of Christ, and your life is according to God. The spirits you have, whether you call them negative, bad spirits, whatever spirits you have, that experience is according to God. But it starts with salvation. What's salvation? We're safe. Our eternal, everlasting relationship with God. If you know, it's amazing. God's people are so insecure in time. You know why? Because they're insecure in eternity. If you know God has taken care of your life, church, then you can what? You can get a good night's sleep without taking the Valium. I don't know why not they ever sell that. See, when I was in medical school, that was a big medication, Valium. I mean, you want a good going through all this pressure, take some Valium. Now, I'm not knocking medication, amen. Sometimes it's part of God's process. But I'm just saying that at a certain point, amen, our hope is in Christ. He's our hope. But see, you have to operate on the information, with the information that everything in life is according to God. But somebody said, I don't understand it. Well, it didn't say whether or not you understand it. You keep walk by faith. Amen. Whatever we're going through, whatever you're going through, everybody's going through something. Everybody has some problem. Everyone. But somebody said, I don't have any problems. Wait a minute, has the rapture come? Hello, come on, church. If you don't have any problems, amen. Absent from the body, presence of the Lord. Amen. Absent from the body, when you're glorified, no problems. But you have this flesh. Synonymous with this flesh is problems. That's the way it is, church. Now, the reason you have to take this more information, because if you go to those other covenants and go there for doctrine, now we didn't say don't read the Bible, the other parts of the Bible, but don't read those parts of the Bible for what? Direction. I counseled a brother the other day. Amen. He messed up. He just lost his salvation. I said, based on what? Well, you go over there in Psalms and say, take not this spirit, you know, and he was so frustrated, he was frustrated. Do not go through those other covenants for direction. So let's go take what you have in our gospel and shine the light on those other covenants, and then you can say, hallelujah, amen. Thank God, Lord. Thank God for putting me in the body of Christ, the glorious body, the best time ever, the glorious generation, the body of Christ. This is the best day. The best day. The grace age is the best. Don't go there. Oh, I would love to be with Jesus. He would heal the sick, walking on water. I wish I was there. No, you won't. No, you don't. Because if you wish you were there, you're a Gentile in manifestation. You come to Christ, the Lord, 2,000 years ago. Lord, he said, get out of here. I don't know you. Why? Because God operates through covenant. In manifestation, we had no relationship with God. But in actualization, we have always been in Christ. Hallelujah. Always, always, always. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Now, here's the danger of going to those other covenants for what? For direction. Go there to teach from the standpoint of our gospel. Let me give you an example. Let's bear with me. Let's corroborate something. Everyone, go to Psalm 51. Now, here's what messes up a lot of God's people. Go to Psalm 51. I want you to read verse 1. I think that's going to, you can close on. See, here, the men of God's people, they go here for direction, church. And what happens? Let's bear with me 1 second. Then we'll go right into the document after this. Go to Psalms chapter 51. Now, church, we don't have time, but this is David messed up. Amen. He messed up. You know, we had a problem with Bathsheba, all of us, you know, in terms of what God's purpose was. He messed up now. Let's read it, because here we have time. Read 51, 1 through 11. See, here's a problem of going to the other parts of the Bible for direction. Okay. Deacon Gavin's reading. You may begin.
Now we're reading from the 51st division of Psalms. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin.
Mm-hmm.
For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight,
mm-hmm.
that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Now, verse 11, church, that Deacon Gavin's getting ready to read now, this is where David had no knowledge and understanding, but we have knowledge and understanding from our gospel. Deacon Gavin, read verse 11 very slow.
Cast me not from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me.
Now, if you take that verse, church, and operate from the standpoint of direction, every time you mess up, you say, well, has the Holy Spirit left me? Been there, done there. Y'all know my point you run story. Y'all know the point you run. For those that didn't know, I'm not going to dwell on it, but I'll just summarize this in a couple minutes. I had a very low point in my life in terms of just, you name promises, my bosses, everything. It was like everything hit me at one time. You know the story of Job. Every time he woke up, there's a problem. You know, he just had problem after problem, right? So I just said, you know, so I was driving from Port Huron. And I mean, problems, it was a plethora of problems going through. I turned on the radio, some preacher said, well, you know, some of y'all having some problems. I said, hey, that's me. He said, have you ever thought that you may not be saved? Here, I pulled on the side of the road. Lord, let me hit this with the rapture come. I'm lost. I pulled on the side of the road, and I prayed, Lord, please, save me, Lord. If I messed up, whatever, Lord, I had a bad week, save me. In other words, here, I was saved in eternity. Ephesians 1 tells us we were saved. You were saved before the foundation of the world. But as you go through life, the flesh is weak. You're going to have some falls here and there, church. But I was basing my salvation based upon what I was going through, not based upon what God did for me in eternity. Salvation is all about what God did. But somebody said, why do we all mess up? We're not glorifying messing up, but are you breathing? David messed up because he was what? Depraved. In fact, I thought about one common narrative of all of God's people through all the covenants, all dispensations, they're all weak, they're all depraved. But thank God, for sin abound, grace did much more abound. So what happens, as we go through this document on differentiating the Gospels, understand, church, you need to understand who God is writing this to. The body of Christ, one entity, the commonwealth of Israel, another entity. If you miss these workings, if you miss these recipients, you'll be confused. So there's a purpose in the commonwealth of Israel. There's also a purpose in the body of Christ. So let's go to the document. Amen. Let's go to the document here. Everyone, go to the document. The kingdom messianic gospel. And Pastor wrote this years ago. I was blessed by this. And here's what messes up a lot of God's people. You see where it says? In the synoptic gospels in the book of Acts, chapters 1 and 7. First of all, church, here's the liberation. The moment you read anything in the Bible, your first question, who is this directed to?
Right.
That's it, church. That'll solve a lot of problems. You go over there and for Daniel, Israel. You keep going, you know, Deuteronomy, Israel. Chronicles, Israel. These are God's directives to Israel. The first seven chapters of the book of Acts, church, Israel. In fact, the body of Christ is not manifest until later on here. So this is what God said. Let's go ahead. Let's read this. Okay. In the Synoptic Gospels, Jesus Christ presents the truth pertaining to his earthly kingdom, which, according to Old Testament prophecy, will be established upon his earth. Reference in Psalms 9, 6, and 7, Matthew 4, 17, 25, 31 to 34. This kingdom will operate on the basis of the law of the new covenant, the requirements of which are actually more stringent than the Mosaic law. So do you want to operate on that system? In the first seven chapters in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit through the disciples offered the kingdom, which was presented in Matthew, Mark, and Luke to Israel. A clear example of the offer of the kingdom to Israel is made by the Holy Spirit through Peter in Acts 3:17 and 26. Makes a clear example of the offer of the kingdom to Israel. That's 17 through 26. The thought is that if Israel had repented, God would have immediately sent Jesus Christ from heaven to establish the prophesied kingdom. Instead of repenting, the leaders of Israel persistently rejected the Holy Spirit's offer of their Messiah, the King of his kingdom. This rejection was consummated by their stoning of Stephen to death, Acts 7:59-60. In view of Israel's rejection of the offer of this kingdom, does this mean that God's promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, which was confirmed by the prophets, is now null and void? We know that's not the case. Actually, the answer would be yes if God's promise to Abraham and his descendants were conditional. That is, if it was contingent on their response. Even as God called Abraham out of a heathen background with an unconditional call, he also unconditionally promised to make his descendants a great nation, to give them a land as saving from the river of Egypt, the Nile, to the Euphrates River, and to bless all families of the earth through them, reference in Genesis 12:1-3, 15:16, 17:7-8, Genesis 19:28-13, 14:35-9-12. So let's stop here for a moment, church. The key is this, for those in Reddit, for those in the internet land, there may be some brothers and sisters in Pakistan, other parts of the world, listen to this message via the internet. You have to let grace, let law be law, let kingdom be kingdom, and let grace be grace. And a lot of letters that we receive from other lands, other nations, in terms of other countries, and the questions derived, usually the questions boils down to this one problem. They are not separating the messages. Separate the messages. Let law be law, let kingdom be kingdom, and let grace be grace. And when you separate the messages, church, the Bible is a wonderful book to read. You don't have to go read a portion of the Bible in fear, because you know that, well, what is this for me? For example, it's Colossians for you. You better believe it. You're complete. It's Ephesians for you. What's the baseline in Ephesians? You're saved in eternity before the foundation of the world. So, time passed, but now, ages to come. Every time you read in the kingdom, church, one word you want to let this magnify in your conscious mind, future. The kingdom message is a future message. The grace message is, but now I'll live in Christ Jesus. You are saved, delivered, but now. This is a but now message. Come on, give the Lord a hand. In the kingdom gospel, the focus is on the future. In the grace gospel, the focus is on now. Amen. And if you look at the record, Jesus walked the earth, right? They said, Lord, when are you going to restore the kingdom? When are you going to, they were waiting for the kingdom, church. And when Jesus died as prophesied by the prophets, they were still waiting for that kingdom. They thought it was coming the next day. They said, well, they saw the Lord, the heaven, they said, in their mind, what? He was going to come back. But God had a secret. God had a secret that was hidden in eternity. And what was that secret? The body of Christ. Oh, God, that came through the medium of Saul of Tarsus, who God raised up to the Apostle Paul and gave him a message that was hidden in time past. And what is that message? The glorious body of Christ. The revelation of the mystery. What is the focus of that message? That is the gospel of the grace of God. Yes, the body of Christ. So, when you go through these messages, church, you have to understand that these messages are different. Let kingdom be kingdom, and let grace be grace. And even the email I received about 3 days ago, they were missing the messages to the point that how to prepare for the tribulation. You see, now someone read that article, you would be confused. Now you say, well, how do I prepare for the tribulation? You know Y2K, what, 15 years ago? Many of God's people knew that this was going to usher in for the tribulation. You know, the computer thing, Y2K. Some of God's people went to the mountains. You know where they said, they realized that Jesus, wait a minute, if the Antichrist comes and goes to the mountains, that is for Israel. The focus for the body of Christ. We are not looking for the Antichrist. Our hope is for the Christ, Jesus Christ. We are looking for Him, not the Antichrist. And you know what? I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking about this. You know what's so liberating about our gospel? I thought about this. How many of you know that in our gospel, every time there were problems, God, you know, there were, Paul gave instructions. For example, people had problems in marriages. What? God through the Holy Spirit now, through Paul. Paul was just a delivery boy. It's all about Christ. Problems about what? Relationships? Paul dealt with that. Problems in the, what, Corinth church? What? Paul dealt with that. I thought about something. I got excited. I mean, you know, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a great teacher, right? I thought about something. But there are some God's people who are going through the grave telling you that you have to go through the tribulation. And cause all security. God's people, they're trying to say, oh, how can I, you know, Lord, pray that I won't take the mark of the beast. Amen. All the crazy stuff, right? All these things that's going to happen in the tribulation period, the nuclear, all these things, that is for Israel. But I thought about something. Our gospel has very little information regarding the end times. Now let me go back. If you look at the end times, the workings of that 7-year tribulation period, it's like it's not even in our contract. Let somebody say, well, it's over there. Look over there in Thessalonians. Wait a minute. Wait. The Holy Spirit had Paul to write Thessalonians because there were some false teachers telling them that God missed the rapture, and then Paul had to address that to say what? And what's the theme of Paul stated? God has not appointed us to wrath, but to attain salvation to our Lord Jesus Christ. You are not called to wrath. But now, you will get a lot of information about the tribulation in Daniel, in Ezekiel, in all the books. Why? Because the tribulation period is for Israel. Jacob's trouble, its design manifestation-wise, is to bring Israel back to God. But guess what? We in the body of Christ, we already belong. We already in Him. It's not a matter of us, God bringing us back. Why would God bring us back to for Him when you have always belonged to Him? Amen. So in these messages, church, you have to, there's this line of demarcation. Again, in the kingdom gospel, again, we're talking about the messages, the recipients are the commonwealth of Israel. In the grace gospel, the recipients are the body of Christ. In the kingdom gospel, the workings of God is focused in time. In the grace gospel, the workings of God is focused in eternity. In the kingdom gospel, things are filling up, or even the law, things are filling up as they pop up into the matrix. In the grace gospel, everything is already filled. We're already complete. That's why we can relax. Somebody said, suppose you have a bad experience. Well, what do you mean bad experience? Do you know that God's people cannot have bad experiences? Somebody said, have you lost your mind? Wait a minute. All these things I'm going through. Wait a minute. When we say bad experiences, you will focus on the matrix. You focus on things that are popping up. But in God's actualized decree, if God be for you, who can be against you? If God is for you, He's for you. I don't care what comes your way. in what you're going through. He is for you. But see, this is the beautiful thing about the perennials. You know perennials? Give people the facts. Give people the facts in terms of who you are in Christ. You are special. You are called. You are anointed. You are chosen. You are saved. You are delivered. You are the member in the body of Christ. The glorious body of Christ. There's nothing better than the body of Christ. Amen. Somebody say, you mean tell me the body of Christ is better than $10 trillion? Are you kidding? Man, they manipulate the stock market. That $10 trillion evaporate over time. And you know why? It was never there. See, anything that's everlasting stays. Jesus Christ died 2,000... Well, manifestation-wise, amen. But guess what? Our contract, all the crazy things that's happened from the beginning of time, has anything affected glorification, propitiation, sanctification, salvation? Everything that's real can never disappear. The reason your salvation is you are secure because what? Salvation is a spiritual blessing. It's not a physical blessing. In the kingdom gospel, signs, miracles, and wonders. In the grace gospel, no signs. Again, going back to the email, ministers, we need to get back and believe God for signs and wonders. Are you kidding? Well, wait a minute. Somebody says, there are no signs today. Yes. But God does not work signs and miracles today according to covenants. Because our covenant is a signless covenant. God works signs and miracles today according to his eternal purpose. In every situation. It's according to purpose. Not according to covenants. Because we operate in a signless covenant. So it's no use you going to Henry Ford Hospital and trying to pray that they everybody raise up. Amen. Forget it. And that's amazing. That's what's so amazing. And please, I'm not picking on the prosperity preachers, but if they really believe that, go to the next door hospital and go in there and lay hands and say, Lord, raise them up. Why? Does God heal today? Yes, he does. But he doesn't heal according to contract. He heals according to purpose. Amen. Some of you, I was reading, the Lord may cause you to pray one way, and manifestation where God what? Manifest some healing. You say, oh, because you get so excited. 2 years later, you do the same thing, Lord, and you end up in the hospital. Wait a minute, you did the same thing. God works everything according to purpose. In the kingdom gospel, everything is actualized by God's decree. In the other gospels, it's focused on what? Manifestation. In the kingdom gospel, this is one that caused so many problems. The identification of the kingdom gospel is water baptism, church. The identification in the grace gospel is spiritual baptism. For by one spirit were we baptized. We were baptized as members in the body of Christ. Everything is according to God. So whatever you're going through, church, whatever that experience, say, Lord, don't say, Lord, what is this? Say, Lord, add us one word. Lord, what is this for? Amen. What is this for? Everything is according to God. And see, if you do not, you need to take this aggression to the other covenants and then shine light to know that everything is according to God. Let me give you an example. I couldn't help but think. Thank God when we had our 40-year wedding celebration, I couldn't help but think, well, oh, September the 11th. And I was thinking, what happened September the 11th? The news that Sunday, the next Sunday, everybody, the planes hit the towers because what? God's people weren't praying enough. God is mad at America. You heard all these things. All of that. And you know why they do that? They go to those other covenants and can Because you're only going to get the information that's in those covenants. They read over there and say, God says, you have sinned against the Holy One of Israel, so I will visit your iniquities. See, that's the language of those covenants. If you mess up, God's going to get you. Come on, church. So what happened? When those planes hit the towers, now I was thinking about this, my wife, we having dinner, amen, at the St. Regis. I said, wait a minute. Those planes did not hit the towers because, God was mad with America. Those planes did it because it was part of God's eternal purpose. God had a purpose for that. But see, you won't get that information in the other covenants. And just like your life, you go through life and you have a week, you mess up and you say, oh, God's mad with me. Here's my question. Is it possible for God to be mad with a member of the body of Christ? But somebody said, well, I did something and I feel bad. Wait a minute. Process-wise, that's God's way of unctioning you. Amen. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. Part of our process-wise, amen. If someone messes up and you mess up, whatever, you say, Lord, forgive me, I love you. What? God calls us that. But that situation does not affect your eternal relationship with God. You have always been with God. Mess up, you're not glorifying messing up. But what we're saying is that has no part of what? That relationship. Amen? My kids growing up, sometimes I had to kind of chastise them kind of hard sometimes. And you know what I always do? Oh, Pamela's. You know what I always do? I love you, right? But I was always saying, okay, give me a hug. I will give me a hug. In other words, that's what I was going about to deal with. The relationship did not affect. Give me a hug. Because that relationship is what? God calls that to be what? You deal with the situation, but what? The relationship is always there. That's God's workings, church. That is God's workings. So again, in the grace gospel, everything is according to God. Now, let me close up on a couple of things. Back to the document, the last paragraph. The fact that the prophesied kingdom, everybody have it? Okay. The fact that the prophesied kingdom will be established on this earth is clearly stated in the Bible. Where? Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, 24-23, Jeremiah 10, 10, 31-34, Psalms 145, 10, 14, Acts 6, 1, 6, 3, 19, 25, Revelation 20, 4 through 6. Stop here. I like the way Pastor writes. If you know, it's just not, many times you pick up something, right, and someone gives their opinion. There are plethora of scriptures here, right? To know that we hide behind the scriptures. What does the Word of God say? But somebody said, what about my opinion? Well, it's nothing wrong with it. You may have an opinion about certain things, but amen, there's no opinion about the Word of God. But somebody said, well, I don't think that you can be saved by shaking a preacher's hand. But that's your opinion, but it's wrong. I mean, you can have an opinion, but it's just wrong. Okay, all right, amen. Let's go back. The apparent reason God first offered this kingdom to Israel on a conditional basis, that is, repentance and water baptism, was to prove to them the fact that they are totally depraved sinners and as such, without excuse, referencing Romans 1:20. So having confirmed Israel as a part of the human race with their sinful depravity, God as a final addendum to the law thus reinforced the fact that neither they nor any man can save himself and is without excuse. The manifestation of this depravity should have caused mankind to recognize his need of God's grace provided in the essence of Jesus Christ. So in essence, church, see, so when you read in the kingdom messianic gospel, church, question, this information was, we can call it what? Pre-revelation. In other words, God is dealing with Israel. Amen? But he has something better when he chose you and I in eternity. And, think about this. Manifestation-wise, Israel had a relationship with God. God is going to take his covenant people whom he had, manifestation-wise, now, okay, I'm referring to it in the time process. God is going to take his people, whom he had a covenantal relationship, they are going to go through the tribulation and manifestation, whereas Gentiles, in manifestation, we had no relationship with God, and we're going to be delivered from the tribulation. But somebody say, why would God do that? According to God. It's amazing. People don't... God is sovereign, church. People try to put God in what? Let's say your man, your mode of thinking is this four little square, right? And you're trying to squeeze God in here. Are you kidding? This is the God of the universe. A God that right now, they're saying there are hundreds of planets. And even beyond that, you go beyond the universe. There are so many things out there we don't even understand. And everything is in him. And now you're going to try to what? Box God in. Even Isaiah, God breathed on him to write, wait a minute, as far as the heavens above the earth, my ways, not your ways. Hello, church. He's God. Now, in the essence of God, now, in fact, I got so excited and Dick and Gavin in Sunday school this morning talking about the comments made by Elder Nicholson and Pastor about there's nothing that can happen, church, apart from God. But man wants to get credit. Man wants to work. To be in a formula. It's okay to have formulas. Amen. God gave formulas. There are some chemistry formulas. So Drew is a chemist, right? So Drew is a chemistry. Amen. It's okay to have formulas. What? Hydrogen plus oxygen, water, right? Sodium chlorine is what? Salt. But who created that? God did. But here's the point. Man wants to answer to what? To get credit. Now, y'all bear with me. I'm going to read something to you. In fact, if you Google this, I'm close with this. Now, you'll see what happens when glory goes to man and not God. God gets all the credit. So this is so short. I thought I would just read this to you. In fact, some of you may have seen this. It's been out in the news the past 2 weeks. But that's bear with me because it's going to answer some questions here because everything is according to God. I'm going to mention a name here. If you mention this name, probably 99% of people have never heard of this person's name here. His name is Stanislav Petrov. A lot of people probably never heard of him. Something interesting happened on September 26, 1983. Now, this is so short, I read this to you. Now, you'll see. I want you to listen to every word. Listen to every word, because you'll see the cogitation of men of God's people. For a few moments... In fact, you know what? Here's a title. If some of y'all can say, here's a title. If you go home, Google this, you'll see it. This article pops up on the computer. Here it is. Ready? It's called The Man Who Saved the World. Come on now. I said, what? The Man Who Saved the World. Let me read it. Let me see here. For a few crucial moments on September 26, 1983, Stanislav Petrov held the fate of the world in his hands. When an alarm suddenly went off, by the way, this is the time of the heightened nuclear Cold War. When an alarm suddenly went off at a Soviet nuclear early warning center, Stanislav was responsible for reacting to a report that 5 American nuclear missiles were headed toward the Soviet Union. Rather than retaliate, Stanislav followed his gut feeling and went against protocol, convincing the armed forces that it was a false alarm. Listen now. His decision saved the world from a potential devastating nuclear holocaust. Now, in 2006, Petrov received an award at the United Nations for he was finally acknowledged for his historic deed and found the strength to reconcile with his past. On his journey, he was greeted by, you know, Walter Cronkite as a man who saved the world, and met Kevin Costner, Robert De Niro, Matt Damon, you know, so forth. But here's the thing. Some of y'all know where I'm going with this, right? So know where the Holy Spirit is going. It's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. The article, now, there's another subtopic, another article similar to this. You see what happened? He was a general, and whatever he saw, whatever God caused him to see, they saw nuclear missiles coming toward Russia. Now you understand now, when there's a nuclear attack, they have what they call anti-nuclear missiles that's designed to what? Disrupt those. And the last minute, and I'm saying that, you know, how does depravity work? You know how it works. Let me get them before what? They get me. That's how depravity works. So it was, it was only natural that, let's loose these missiles. And then he made a statement that he saw potentially millions of Americans could have died, could have destroyed this country. So now he was on what? The man who saved the world based on that decision. Wait a minute. Remember? How does our gospel shine light on these situations? First of all, every decision that a person made is according to God. There was not just some isolated decision. That decision was according to God. But somebody said, but you know what? He made the right decision. Well, based on what? It was according to God. See, our gospel speaks to that, and we can give you a scripture that can clear this up. We can close on the scripture right now. Deacon Gavin, go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Every decision that you made, every decision is according to God. We'll close on this. Deacon Gavin. King James, yes, please. King James in Greek.
From the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 13, first from the King James Version. For it is God.
It is God.
Which worketh in you. Both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
His good pleasure.
Now from the interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
God for is the operating in you.
In you.
Both the to will and the to operate on behalf of his good will
goodwill. His good will. In closing, church, this general had no choice but to what? Not push that button because what? That it was not what? Actualized by God's eternal decree, so it could not manifest. He, even though he may have wanted to push that button, he said, God, stop him. So why? He did not stop. He stopped that not because he made the right decision, because it was God's eternal decree. Everything is according to God. He could not do anything but get it on hand. Amen. God calls him to what? And if they came that close, they would say, we're going to push this button. God calls him to what? Not push that button. We were within a what? Little push, button push from being ushered into World War III. But here's the good news. Here's the good news, church, because if you are not, it's cast out fear. One day, God is going to what? Allow depravity to reign where they will push the button. And these missiles will fly. They will fly. But somebody said, well, how do you know? Well, go back to the kingdom gospel because God showed them what? As they walked through the tribulation, Peter made a statement that the elements will melt with fervent heat. In that day, the future day, let the missiles come. Whatever may come, we're going to be out of here. But who knows? God may allow a missile attack. There's no guarantee that a missile may not hit the United States before the tribulation. But whatever happens, a nuclear weapon, whatever, if God calls a person to push that button, you are safe, 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 because you're in Christ. You are safe. And if God used that situation, if God used that situation to remove you from the time capsule, Lord, if you're going to use a nuclear arsenal to remove me from the time capsule, we're still safe because absent from the body. Come on, nuclear weapons. Come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah. Come on. But what gives you this information, church? Remember, a higher value rated, and you should be focused on this message that God gave to the Apostle Paul. It eradicates fear, confusion, frustration, and that is why it should burn in your heart that the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation is the gospel of the grace of God.